We've got a major election update as the polling has shifted, and now Biden's White House is panicking.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Tuesday, May 14th. This is Logan Seculo. Welcome to Seculo. Will Haynes is joining me, executive producer in studio today. Got another jam-packed show as we like to do it here. Later on in the broadcast, CeCe Hiles is going to be joining us and Jeff Balaban from our ACLJ Jerusalem office. It's going to be a packed show, but we're leading right now, starting this show off with a brand new poll that just broke from the New York Times. You know, we've been talking about these polls that are showing quite a strong showing by President Trump against President Biden when they go head to head. And obviously there are some discrepancies when you add in someone like a RFK Jr. But this poll actually says that really the RFK Jr. moment doesn't really matter right now. Here's what we have in a Trump versus Biden New York Times poll. Trump up in Nevada, 13 points. Georgia, 9 points. Arizona, 6 points. Pennsylvania, 3 points. And Wisconsin, 1 point. So out of the, what, they said 6 polls of the swing states, if you will, that were polled, 5 of them went for President Trump, and some of them by very large margins, like in Nevada. I think those are the ones that are a bit shocking and probably are causing that panic that we know is probably happening in the Biden White House. Now, look, we got a long way to go. 5 months is a long time. Anything can happen. This is while President Trump is currently on trial, and that is dominating the news. Whether I think it should be or not is beside the point. That's why we're not really covering it here. You may go, you know, that it may be the news of the day, but I don't think it's the important news to cover. Then later on the broadcast, we're going to talk about some ACLJ news. We've been protecting and fighting for a teacher who has been essentially told she cannot pray. And that trial is going on, the initial stages of it, right now. Told she cannot pray within public view of any students. And we're there protecting their rights. So make sure you stay tuned. Listen for that a little bit later in the broadcast. I want to hear from you. What are your responses to these poll numbers? When you hear that, do you feel like that means President Trump is strong? Do you think that means President Biden is weak? Do you think it's somewhere in the middle? Do you think you're actually seeing? Look, I think it would be a rare occurrence where you would see actually this sort of 50-50% that we have had in this country. We've had sort of this 50-50 split and maybe, you know, a couple percentage points one way, a couple percentage points the other way, or what takes this election. But we are starting to see this grow and grow. Bigger numbers coming in from these polling. Do you put any credibility in a New York Times poll? And you're also concerned that the fact that if these polls show a strong lead, it will actually discourage people from voting. There's a lot of things we could talk about. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. And then we're going to be kicking it to Israel, talking to Jeff Balaban. You remember that independent task force where you heard that they said, you know, maybe they committed some war crimes. Maybe they did some things that could violate international law. We have some new information about that that you're not going to want to miss. We'll be catching up with Jeff in the second half hour. But again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. When we get into this situation going on, you're going to want to hear it because we are in court today after that teacher was banned from praying anywhere students could see her or might see her. These are the ACLJ core topics that we deal with and we have been dealing with for 30 years. And we not only have that, we have recordings to show that the school misrepresented the facts. We're going to discuss that with our legal experts coming up. Again, CeCe Hyle will be joining us in the third segment. Next segment, I want to hear from you. I'm going to go over with Will what these polls mean for the upcoming election. So join us right now. Again, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching live on YouTube or Rumble or on Facebook for that matter, like this, share it. Comment. You know, a good way to comment, if you don't know what to say, if you don't have a comment that you feel like sharing or question, I'm just going to ask you, say, hey, Logan, I'm watching in blank and tell me where you're watching. I would love to hear from you, whether that's on Facebook, Rumble, or YouTube, or on X. Respond, tag me, do what you need to do. I want to hear from you. During this break, I'm going to be reading all your comments, so do that right now. Again, phone lines are lighting up. We only got 2 lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. back to Seculo. I'm going to take some of your calls here in this segment, 1-800-684-3110. Some lines did open up. People called whether they were had a bad connection, whether they used profanity, or a lot of the times they're off topic. So right now, give us a call if you have a question or comment related to this polling situation that's happening. And we'll maybe break that down a bit of where we are, as there are some, these poll numbers are, could be devastating to a, and again, I don't lie to you. I don't give you a lot of hyperbole. This is coming from the New York Times. This is not coming from, you know, Right Side Broadcasting or something like that. You know, good friends there, no problem with them. But, you know, I think they know where their allegiance stands. This is coming from the New York Times, which you would assume is going more left. And here is what they had to say.
That's right. And these were swing states. These are also states that President Biden won in 2020. So in order for President Trump to win in 2024, he would need to pick up many of these states. And what you're seeing here is that places like Nevada and Arizona, which were obviously hotly contested, President Trump is actually has a pretty large gap between where President Biden sits as we stand right now. I would tend to think that a lot of this maybe has to do with issues like immigration, because those are in the Southwest. They are seeing the crisis firsthand, and the residents of those states, even if they are more in the middle as far as their policies go, their national security issues really are the border for them. So you have to think, okay, out in the Southwest, maybe that's what's happening there. You see in Georgia, which was obviously hotly contested in 2020, and a lot of the issues that we see for President Trump stemmed out of fighting for Georgia, but he has a 8 to 9 point lead depending on if you add the third party candidates in or not. And even with the third party candidates, it doesn't change the polling very much, because the largest person to get a chunk of votes when they added that candidate in was RFK Jr. There's also, we know, Cornel West and Jill Stein for the Green Party. They're not registering many, but there was a consistent almost 10% portion of these polls that went to RFK Jr. But the New York Times found that it was evenly split.
Yeah.
So basically 5 and 5 taken away from Biden and Trump.
What's interesting, that has actually been the talking point of RFK, which is when they ask him, who do you think you are actually going to potentially spoil, if you will? Could you be spoiling the party for Trump or for Biden? He's like, well, I actually think I'm equally taking away from both. What's interesting is that that's something that's nice to say, but you would think he would appeal to one side or the other. But what is clear is that, yeah, he's drawing maybe that middle ground that he may be drawing, the swing voter. Then you go to, okay, who's left over? And if some of that swing voter likely went more Biden last time, they now would go RFK. They're bringing the Biden and Trump full capacity, if you will, of voters back to even. And that is puts us in an interesting spot, because you almost, with RFK, start eliminating the swing voter, the voter that is in that sort of gray area that really could vote for a Republican or Democrat. We know that's not the majority. The mass majority of people vote their party line, and that's just the truth. Then you have that sliver, or you have a moment like an Obama or a moment like a Reagan, where the country does rally behind one candidate more so than the other. But
now, these numbers from the New York Times were pretty shocking to see, especially in these swing states. And this is where polling does start to get interesting, because a national poll, when you see, oh, Biden's up 2% nationally, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean anything because of the Electoral College. But when you start to look at these granular state-by-state polls where you actually do win the presidency, when you start to build these states together to win an election. But there was also that came out this week, a poll that's not getting as much attention. This is from Tip Insights. And they were doing a national poll, but it was different breakdowns in the independent category is what makes this interesting when you look at the New York Times poll. Because you tend to think Pennsylvania, the Midwest, those states do have a lot more people that would consider themselves independent of the party, and they vote how they want to vote. But when you look at this, independents favored Trump 35% to 30% in a head-to-head race, according to this poll. So he's winning the independent vote by 5% in head-to-head. But when you go down to the independent vote for adding in the other candidates, Cornel West, Jill Stein, RFK Jr. Trump beats Biden 33% to 25% among independents. So when it comes to maybe party,
the independents are speaking.
The independents
are
speaking.
And they're saying they are not happy with President Biden. Shocker. I mean, I don't think that's anything we all didn't think was happening. There are very few people. I know very few Democrats that are on the Biden train in the sense of they're going to go and campaign. Most of them are not happy with his performance. And these are sort of either their far leftist, but most of my friends who are Democrats, I'd say, are pretty centrist Democrats who maybe got on board with Biden because they had no other choice and they didn't feel like they could vote for Trump. I feel like now you have given them these options and you've given anyone who is independent thinking an option to decide to vote against what they know is happening in this world. Look, I think you can turn to celebrities even. You have Dwayne The Rock Johnson who came out and he made a statement. You know, he endorsed President Biden last go round and this time said he made a mistake. Okay, when you have big celebrities saying, I'm making a mistake and I'm not going to do that again and I'm not happy where the country is, there is a ripple effect with that. You have Tulsi Gabbard, obviously on this broadcast, her book, the subtitle of it is Leave the Democrat Party Behind. She was out there running against President Trump. She was someone who did embrace President Biden in the campaign and now regrets it and is living in a situation where her mind has been changed. We maybe are living in the biggest moment where minds can actually be changed, where votes can actually be swung, which is very fun in some ways, because that should be what it is in America, that you aren't just voting party line. You actually can look around, see the chaos, see your prices of everything going up. Again, look, I'll be honest. Okay, the kids requested fast food last night for dinner last night. I said, you know what? Fine. Get them fast food. Went through the line. I have a family of five, and it was like $85. And there's part of me going, what is happening? I should not have a problem with paying, you know, for fast food for my family of five just because I am at the ability to go through this drive-thru. And you typically, I don't know, for the last 30 years, I haven't really thought about it. Because usually, what does that mean? You go through the drive-thru? Dollar menu, $2 menu. Kids are asking for chicken nuggets. You know, whatever. Even if it's poison, it's what we did. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you we didn't. But when that bill came and it said $85 for my family of five, you do start to look at the world around you. And what I'm thinking is there's enough people that is affecting now. It's not even just people who are below the poverty line or low income. You're talking about people who should not be thinking about whether they can afford to go get fast food for their kids. And when that starts happening, the poll numbers start shifting. And I think that is not something to laugh at. It is not something to joke about. It is truth. It is what's happening in our society right now. And if you have enough independent voters who are, a lot of those people are voting because of the economy. They may not care about the social issues you care about. They may not care about what's happening in Israel. Now, do I think they should? Of course, I think they should. But for a lot of people, that is not top line. Top line is, can I pay my bills? And if they're having trouble with that, can I afford to take my kids to, you know, fill in the blank fast food? I don't want to give anybody any endorsement or non-endorsement here. And if they're saying no, they're going to vote differently, especially if they have no loyalty to a party or their political in general. They're just people that have been told you need to vote. Well, I know things are going poorly. Therefore, I'm going to hopefully vote the alternative. In the next segment of the broadcast, I think this is very important now here at the ACLJ, is for you to hear what we're doing as the organization. We'll report the news. I'll tell you when these poll numbers go up and down, and I'll tell you when I feel like there are things we need to break down. But you also need to hear from our legal experts here at the ACLJ. You need to hear about what we're doing to protect you and how we do it. Because the ACLJ, if you have a legal issue and it's within our scope, so this one specifically is a teacher who was told that she cannot pray where? Silent prayer. Anywhere a student may potentially see them. And we're in court over it right now. And guess what? That teacher is paying the ACLJ. Zero. Because that's not how we do things here. The ACLJ works, and we do have the best of the best. The best attorneys, the best media production, all of that because of people like you who support this organization each and every month. That is why we launched ACLJ Champions. That's people that support the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis. I'm going to encourage you right now, if you are not an ACLJ champion, to go ahead and do it. 21,000 of you have already. And we don't hit it that hard in these months. You know, we did the Life and Liberty Drive and all that. I don't spend a lot of time talking. But it doesn't matter what level you can give. Give monthly, become an ACLJ champion right now, so we can not only talk about what's happening around the world, protect our friends in Israel, but when you need legal help, we can be there for you. Or you need guidance or advice, we can be there for you. We're also going to be taking your phone calls. We got one line open at 1-800-684-3110. CeCe Hiles is going to be joining us next. Next half hour, we'll be headed to Israel with Jeff Balaban. Talk about some more egregious things happening over there. But again, if you can't support the work of the ACLJ, go to aclj.org and become a champion. Really means a lot to us. And thanks to everyone who said hello. So hello back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. It's always important for us to discuss the important legal work happening at the ACLJ. We always give you the top line news, what's going on. You're going to hear about that. You're going to hear our commentary. But we are in court, and we're always in court for you. And right now, we are joined in studio by CeCe Hiles, senior attorney, as well as senior managing counsel, Christy Campagnone, who is in Texas, live, just leaving court. Christy, we'll get to you in a second. CeCe, why don't you set up what's going on with the ACLJ, and then we'll kick it to Christy in Texas.
Sure. This case involves our client, a teacher in Texas, who was praying at CU at the Pole with other teachers well before any students were there. And she was approached by the principal and literally told that the school policy is that teachers are barred from any kind of religious activity in the presence of students, which is completely unconstitutional policy. And so the ACLJ was contacted and we got involved, and we are able to, you know, allege with this case that students and teachers don't shed their constitutional rights when they simply walk through a schoolhouse door. And so that's what this case involves. We had a preliminary injunction that's going to enjoin the school from actually enforcing that unconstitutional policy. And that's where Christy was today in court in Texas.
All right, Christy, give us an update. Tell us how things went. You just came out. Again, a lot of our Texas viewers and a lot of our Texas listeners are chiming in the comments, shocked that this is happening in their home state, because you would think, you know, we report this, you'll hear, but the most recent ones now, we've had, you know, Arkansas, Nebraska, we've had Georgia,
yeah,
and now in Texas. So I guess you're coming out of the court, which again, just ended, you know, within the last hour or so. Give us an update.
Yeah, so we had a 45-minute battle in there with opposing counsel. So we were asking the court to enjoin the school from enforcing this policy against our client. And the school came out of the bat swinging, saying that our client was trying to pray in the student group session with the students, which is just not the facts at all here. She was praying before the students even arrived at the flagpole, when the principal pulled her in to his office and chided her and the other teachers because he said there were students outside the front door who were waiting to come into the rooms. So it had nothing to do with students being at the flagpole. So we went to the judge and said, look, it's unconstitutional to say that she can't, in her private capacity before school starts, be praying with the other teachers at this pole. She also has asked specifically to have Bible studies in her classroom. And the current policy meant that if a student walked into her classroom while she was praying with the other teachers, she would immediately be in violation of the school policy and could be fired. So we've asked the judge to enter an order protecting her right, her constitutional right. And I think he took it into consideration. The other side mischaracterized our client a little bit, but we argued back and stated the record clear. She's not trying to pray with the student groups. She's just trying to have personal prayer at the flagpole.
CeCe, maybe you can break this down too. Yeah. And then what's the next steps? What does this look like? If we're in court today. Mm-hmm. This process could get strung along. It could wrap up quickly. But you had also recordings.
Yes. That's interesting.
And that's a very interesting, you know, maybe difference in this is that she was actively recording.
Right.
So now they're caught.
Right. So on your timeline, because this is a preliminary injunction and it's basically an emergency motion, we're hopeful that the judge will rule very quickly. And that will mean that while this case goes forward, our client constitutional rights will not be infringed. She'll be allowed to pray. But what is interesting is once we did have to file the case, which is disheartening, like you said, in Texas, after we did file the case, of course, the principal kind of changes his tune of, oh, no, that's not what I said. I didn't say they can't pray in front of students. I just said, you know, that flagpole was already reserved for students. But guess what? Our teacher, our client, recorded him. Right. And so we literally have him saying, you can't pray in front of students. That's part of our board policy.
And not even in front of students, but where there's a potential for students. I believe there's a part of that recording, I was reading up on that last night, where it says something about, what about my car? And they're like, well, if the car is parked out front, you never know. A student could walk by. Sometimes these become power-hungry faculty.
Right.
And you have to stand up to them. And I'll pitch back to Christy. Christy, and you're there live when this is happening. I think that's important for our people to see. You know, you're on a phone. We know that, you know, it's not going to be perfect quality here. But because the ACLJ is actively involved in these situations, it's easy to hear when we tell you one of these stories and we're like, well, we sent a letter and they backed down because they're scared of us. But there are sometimes, more often than not, especially in these situations, where it gets to this level and could go even further.
Exactly. I mean, we tried to work through this with the school. We sent email after email saying, is there a way that we can come to some kind of resolution? And they started ignoring us. And so that was the time to pull the trigger and say, okay, we're filing. You've just ignored us for a month. And we have our clients' rights are being violated every single day that she can't be praying now. So.
So there we go. Look, support the work of the ACLJ. If you're in the comments right now on YouTube, if you're on Rumble, I'm going to ask you to pray for them. Pray for our team who is out there right now. Throw into the comments, pray for Texas. Pray for the ACLJ. I see a lot of our Texas. Texas responds big. Texas is one of our biggest states of support. And oddly enough, you know what second number two is typically? California. California and Texas speak out for the ACLJ. Because the Texas, one, these are just big states, a lot of people. But also, California feels underrepresented, and Texas is always strong. But there are moments like this. There are times like this where it is, and I'm seeing the flood in comments. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Because look, as much as your support, becoming an ACLJ champion, all that matters, when we have our team, and some of them are the brightest, they're young lawyers, they are out there fighting. They need your support. They need your prayers. Christy, I'll let you get back to what you're doing. I know you're having you're out there doing the good work and doing the hard work, and we appreciate it. So I'll let Christy go so she can get back to her day, because this is what especially our young legal team. I want to say that too. A lot of these people have been, you know, they've been lawyers for years now. I don't want to say young. I mean, I feel like that's giving a pejorative, but they're out there, they're hungry, and they're fighting.
Yeah, they're fighting on the front lines, and that's great. And I would say, if you have a situation like this, and this is what's great, is I'm so thankful that that teacher called us, because you don't, like I said, the Supreme Court has been very clear. When you walk through the schoolhouse door, whether you're a teacher or student, you don't shed your constitutional rights. So if you've had a constitutional right you think that has been violated, you need to reach out to us at aclj.org/help, and we will get one of our attorneys right on it.
Yeah, we want you to do that. I want to encourage you. Don't feel like your case is too small here. This is a single teacher in Texas who just wanted to pray, was told she couldn't, didn't know what to do. Contact the ACLJ. We took on the case at no cost. We can't do it at no cost without your support. And that's why today I'm asking you to become an ACLJ champion. I mean, we're in court today. You've heard that. The teacher was banned from praying anywhere a student may possibly see her. Not only that, you know about our support of Israel. We're going to kick it in the next segment, next half hour, over to Israel. We're going to talk to Jeff Balaban, our head of ACLJ Jerusalem. So the fact that we have a great team of young lawyers in Texas right now fighting for a teacher whose rights were violated, who feels like she could not express her faith. And again, express her faith. If you start really narrowing it down, that means religious garb. And by the way, not just Christians. I'm talking about if you're wearing a cross. I'm talking about if you're wearing a cross, a hijab, a yarmulke. You want your schools to be able to tell your students and your faculty what they can and can't wear like that because it may signal their beliefs? Of course not. That's why we're at the ACLJ. I'm going to ask you to support us, because we have been successful in defending them over and over and over again, and we couldn't do it without the brightest and the best. So right now, go to aclj.org/champion. If you scan the QR code right now on your screen, also it'll take you straight there. We're just asking you to give monthly at whatever level you can. So whether that's $5, whether it's $500, do that right now. Become a new champion today. Those of you on hold, stay on hold. I will get to you. We'll take some in the next segment coming up. We'll be right back with second half hour Seculo right now.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Thanks to our ACLJ team out in Texas, and thank you for all the comments and the prayers that are coming in. I greatly appreciate it. I want to take some phone calls. Some people have been holding a while. We were talking about the polls that came out of the New York Times showing Trump leading in 5 out of 6 swing states right now, some by significant margins, including that in Nevada. So let's head to Nevada. James is calling online too, listening on the radio. Go ahead, James.
Making a comment on the poll I just heard, that I do not believe any polls because none of them are accurate, I found out. And the only poll that counts is when people go to the voting booth in November or whatever state or county elections that they may have. Thank you.
I do think, James, there is some issues people have had with polling over the last few years. We've seen inaccurate polls, specifically in relation to President Trump.
Right.
We've seen that time and time again. So, yes, do I think the polls are what they used to be? No, because I think the country is fragmented a little differently than it was, where you could take a poll of 2,000 people in, you know, Nevada and get a pretty good estimate. You know, you could actually use that sample size. But now we live in a very different world. So if you've got 2,000 people in Nevada in one city opposed to another, if you've got, you know, Reno or Las Vegas, it's going to be different.
And I am one of the people that gets nerdy about polls. I like them to kind of get a gauge of the temperature. That's the way I look at it. I get fascinated by sample sizes and margins of error.
The things that most people get excited
about.
Like
no one should.
Yeah.
But
Will sits up at night thinking about sample sizes.
To our caller's point, though, yes, at the end of the day, the only poll that matters is when you go on election day and vote. I don't believe that the 12% winning by number that Trump has right now in Nevada, if they were to go to the polls, that's what you would get.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting when you start to see moves in different parts of the country, when they're getting feedback from people that are voters that are saying, I'm going to vote for Trump. They actually feel comfortable enough telling a stranger on a telephone that's how they feel. Getting a gauge of the temperature, it's going to be a hotly contested election. We know this. But when you're looking in these swing states, and they are smaller populations than if you're doing a national poll and only polling 2,000 people, that you are at least getting a little bit more insight of where people are. I also like issues-based polling where they ask who you're going to vote for, but then you dig into some of the analytics of, I care about the economy, I care about the border, I care about national security. Then you can also start to feel, okay, how is President Biden doing on those issues? And how is President Trump doing on those issues? And so you can glean insights about knowing maybe a direction of the tide of the election. But no, they're not going to tell you who's winning.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Rhonda in Texas. Thank you, DJ Sample Size, for that. Line 4, you're on the air. Little Frank Luntz Jr. over here. Let's go ahead to Rhonda. You're on the air.
Yeah, that was so good. You pretty much answered some of my questions. But as James was saying, I do agree with the when we go to the polls. But I am encouraged. I am so encouraged. And thank you for your news. And I'm hoping for a victory. So thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Rhonda. We appreciate it. You know what? Those calls are nice. Sometimes it's nice to be told you're doing a good job. So I appreciate that. There are more calls coming in about the polling situation. We will take some of those in the last segment. So if you're on hold right now and you can continue, I'll get to you. Just stay on hold because the next segment, we're going over to Israel to discuss with Jeff Balaban, our head of ACLJ Jerusalem. You know that situation that unfolded recently where there's terror groups and there's Hamas happening over there, and maybe Israel had information they could have gleaned from America, but maybe America said, we're not going to send your weapons. Why? Maybe you created, you did some war crimes here. Do we feel like we have any evidence of that? No. We'll also check with our independent task force. And who's on that independent task force? You're never going to believe it, but you probably will. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Get in line, because the last segment, I'm going to take all your calls and comments, whether it's about the ACLJ cases, whether you're one of our friends in Texas, or whether it's Israel, or those poll numbers. Give me a call. Last segment, I'll get to as many as possible. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to be taking your calls in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. But first, I want to take us over to Israel with Jeff Balaban, our head of ACLJ Jerusalem. I'm going to read some of this, Jeff. We're learning more about the Biden administration's independent task force, put that in quotes, that last week released that report on Israel's humanitarian and military conduct in Gaza. And in short, we are learning the volunteers who made up that task force, guess what, have a serious history of antisemitism. There are several notables. Let's go through a couple of them. Co-chair of the task force is a known pro-Hamas activist and professor from Rutgers, Nora Arak. You have co-chair Josh Paul, who is a former State Department official who resigned in protest of Israel aid immediately following the October 7th attacks. He then joined a pro-Palestinian group. Should we be surprised, Jeff, that this is who's calling shots in this administration?
We should not be surprised. We should not be surprised to any depths they will sink. But let's also frame exactly what this means. It means we have literal pro-Hamas, pro-genocide. They openly called for genocide. This Professor Arakat from Rutgers, and also let me take an aside, we at ACLJ represented, I believe, the first case of this post-October 7th Rutgers anti-Semitism against its students. We had a student client who was confronted by the Rutgers hostility to Jews and support for Hamas and support for genocide. And she's right. Clearly very much part of that. In fact, she, this the woman who co-chairs this council for Biden, is named in his lawsuit against the university. And so we have someone who is pro-Hamas, pro-genocide, not just pro-Hamas, but pro-PFLP, Islamic Jihad, who is now providing to Blinken what he is quoting, and to Biden, what they're quoting as an excuse to not just withhold aid to Israel, but to criticize Israel and essentially, you know, the term blood libel, which has happened for centuries, where people accuse Jews of things that are false as an excuse to harm them. And they're using the White House to do this.
Hey, you said that person from Rutgers who is a part of this, Arak said, tweeted actually, this is on October 7th, tweeted, civilians are taken hostage, soldiers are captured. This is a military tactic. Hamas has demanded release of all Palestinian political prisoners. So right there, and there's a couple more. It was an ongoing thread, pretty much saying Hamas is justified in their attacks on October 7th.
So I want to put this in context from here on the ground, you know, at ACLJ Jerusalem. So we are now ending, because it's obviously evening here, yeah. We're ending Independence Day. And the way it works in Israel is this Memorial Day leads right into Independence Day. It's an incredibly emotional period. And this year, probably more than virtually any year since the creation of the State of Israel, because there's never been such an attack since the Holocaust. It took place right here in Israel. It shocked everybody, the scope, the scale, the horror. It's still ongoing. I just learned last night, I did not know this, that a friend I made not long ago lost his son. They thought he was missing. Then they found that he was wounded and missing. Then they found that he was killed on October 7th. But his body is still being held by Hamas or by whomever in Gaza. I mean, it's the whole society saturated with this pain. And they're seeing the United States of America, who they always believed was their friend, is turning against them. And it's so important for them to understand that the Biden administration, you know, we'll talk about the polls that you just raised. The Biden administration seems so far out of step with America. And I'm hopeful that part of it is not just because it's true, they're destroying the economy and it's impossible to go to KFC. I know that's not where you went. I don't know where you went. But you know what I'm saying? Not just because fast food costs a lot of money, but because the raw moral evil that's coming out of this administration. And what everyone here recognizes is when they started Memorial Day here, part of the essential Memorial Day program was to talk about anti-Semitism around the world, because they're concerned here in this country about the waves of anti-Semitism in America and elsewhere. And so all of this is coming full circle, and then it goes right into Independence Day. And so there's a feeling here that's incredibly intense. But I want to say this, and maybe we'll have to come back to you asking me a question. I'm going a little long here.
No, go ahead. I love it.
Okay. I have never felt the passion for being both an Israeli and a Jew. And it's not exclusively Israeli Jews, right, because there are Israeli Arabs here also. The passion for being proud, as I felt this year here. There's a song that's become tremendously popular here. And it's basically the people of Israel will live, will survive. And it's part of the words are, you know, God watches over us, and we have nothing to worry about so long as we're united. And people of all colors in this country, because they're Jews of all colors and of all ages and of all religiosity across the spectrum, from totally secular to super religious, are standing just in the streets and in the restaurants and pointing at the sky and singing this together, because there's this pride of being Jewish and pride of being an Israeli. And I got to tell you something, part of me was thinking it's amazing to be here. And I wish that Americans were able to feel this way nowadays about the pride of being an American. And we've lost that also because of who's leading our country.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very much similar to a post 9/11 situation where you had those maybe six months, a year, where it did feel like the world in global politics or the country politics shut off for a minute and we all were united. So maybe you could take yourself back to there if you're watching this and going, well, how does that feel in Israel? Maybe you were an adult and maybe you weren't, though, during, you know, post 9/11. And that is how the emotions were in America. Now, Israel, remember, not the size of America, not the size of this is a country you could drive coast to coast, you know, in a day, no problem. And of course, though, they're a country that has always been under attack, always had this happen. We are finally seeing a wake-up call, I feel like, in America, where maybe the swing, the protests that happened on the campuses, I think, were a blessing in disguise. Because though they are horrific, and I can't believe the words that are coming out of their mouth, a lot of even the conservative voices woke up in that moment and said, this does not represent what I thought they were talking about. This is not me. Now you have situations with Jerry Seinfeld. You have what I mean, Eurovision, where a massive amount of the rest of the world voted, including in the countries, voted for the Israeli singer. We are seeing that tide start to turn, but we got to make sure that the mainstream press also covers this correctly. And if not, Israel will still be in a situation where the world, it appears that the world's against them.
Well, and I think it also brings why our fight is so important, because real people, not college protesters that are brainwashed and have a sick ideology, but the real people of America and of the world as well, as you mentioned that Europe, the people of Europe were voting for Israel,
right?
Then you understand that when the Biden administration puts people in place to analyze whether or not we should continue to send military aid, and he handpicks, or whoever, Secretary Blinken or whoever at the State Department, handpicks people that are supposed to be independent, which are not independent in the least. They are completely biased against the aid from the get-go.
On X, right, publicly.
Right. You know, it shows you that this is the contrast that we need to be making to the American people and to the world, that the Biden administration, and Jeff, I'll get you to weigh in on this, isn't representative of our country in the slightest when it comes to these issues.
Oh, I genuinely hope and pray that that's true. And that's what I try to tell people here, because people are mind-boggled. They know they're just trying to fight for survival. They know that all Israel wants is peace. Israel is so happy to live in peace with its Arab neighbors and with its Arab citizens. And they're watching America, which they always saw as a righteous nation, or for decades saw as a righteous nation. And just an administration ago, peace was breaking out with Arab nations that wanted to normalize with Israel. And now these people are from the White House, from the State Department, are pushing literal Hamas terrorist talking points and using it as an excuse to hurt us. And by the way, let's not forget, this is the worst hostage situation for America since Iran took 40 hostages. There are still 10, I believe it is, American hostages being held. And the Biden administration is not only not helping, but it's harming. You would think they would care about the American hostages. Apparently not. So yes, we have to hope and pray that regular America, normal America, wakes up, that when we bring these reports out there and more people hear about it, it gets brought to attention and it's pushed back. Why should the mainstream media accept what Blinken is saying without challenging it? Why should we not look into who is manning, who's giving advice to the White House, to the State Department? What's their background? As you say, they're on social media. We can see what they are. They support genocide.
Yeah, I'm going to encourage everyone right now, if you have a question or comment related to this topic or any of the topics we discussed today, to give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. I like to get calls lined up so when we get into that segment, we can take as many as possible. We got a couple lines open right now. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Just briefly, when you heard the Biden administration put out those words that said essentially it's reasonable to assess that Israel violated humanitarian laws, but stopped short of then saying, you know, what they did or what they could do. What was your initial reaction on that?
Are you asking me? Or
yes,
the
Jeff.
Public?
Sorry, Jeff. Yes.
Oh. Well, I mean, it was honestly frustration and anger, but also an eye roll. I don't think there's any bottom to this pit. I don't think there's any depths of depravity. They're set on this course. And, you know, it's become commonplace to say, well, they're worried about domestic politics. We've said it. I've thought it. You know, Michigan, Minnesota, it's much deeper than that. I mean, the Biden administration, the Democrats, have been made it very clear that they're dedicated to turning the Palestinian Authority, and if not them, then maybe Hamas, into a, quote, Palestinian state.
All right.
Now, the idea of a Palestinian state is not by right. It was Israel decided maybe we'll take a risk for peace and give up more of Israel's indigenous land, yet more of it, to Arab control. All they have to do is show they'll live in peace with us. We'll give up the most important part of the Jewish homeland if they'll live in peace. Instead, Israel got rockets and bus bombs.
We'll be right now- back, Jeff. Hate to cut you off, but we got to go. Give us a call. Welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your calls and your comments today. 1-800-684-3110. We do have some lines open right now. This would be a great time to call in. I always like to end the show with hearing from the most important voice, which is yours. So we took you to Texas. It is our lawyers in Texas with Christy and with Cece. We took you to Israel with Jeff. We've been here in our Nashville studios, but here's what I need you to do. My, you know, the barometer for what we do here at the ACLJ, a lot of it comes through because of you. So I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. Also, if you'd like to just leave a comment or a question, I'm going to ask you to start, if you're on YouTube or Rumble, just start it with question real big. Real big, put the word question. So then our team can go through and pull some of those for me to take on the air. Oh, we just lost one of our other calls. So right now, guess what? There are a lot of open lines, 1-800-684-3110. That guy waited 45 minutes and then hung up right
as
before.
As you were pitching to the
caller.
As I
was about to go to him. You know, call back, man. I was about to go to you. How unfortunate. We do have a question that came in on Rumble on the Texas Prayer case. They said those in the school system know full well what they're doing, and they choose to apologize later after they get what they want. That is a common thread that happens within our ACLJ cases, which you do have sometimes. On the occasion, to be honest, you have people that don't know better. You have faculty in these schools that think they hear separation of church and state, and they take it to the extreme because they have not been educated. And there's a lot of times the ACLJ can send a letter, make a phone call. In these cases, poof, they're gone because simply the faculty is not educated. But what you do have a lot of times, and it seems like that's more and more over the last handful of years, is radical faculty that are ready to, they have a vendetta, and they're mad that they even have to respect people of faith.
Well, and specifically in this case in Texas, the principal who was giving these instructions in the recorded phone call, and we have the transcript that we filed with the court of that recorded conversation between the teacher and the principal, he even references, you and I share the same faith, and I believe in the power of prayer. So, but he keeps pointing back to, I'm having to enforce board policy. So many times when there is a improper, illegal, unconstitutional school board policy, which happens to be the case here, it's also enforced down the line, all the way down to the teachers, because they don't want to be in trouble with the higher school board if they are violating school board policy. And that's where you sometimes have to go to court, even if the school's willing to say, like, yeah, maybe we enforced that improperly, or we went a little too far, we apologize. If there's a policy on the books that is illegal or unconstitutional, a principal themselves can't just reverse that. You do have to go to court to get that overturned. And even in this case, there's recent Supreme Court precedent in the Kennedy case. That was the coach that was unable to be publicly seen praying, and that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it was reversed. It was upheld that he had the right to be publicly praying. He could not silence his expression of free speech, even if there it was a public school. So there is recent Supreme Court precedent that is usable in this case to say, hey, look, court, This school board policy violates not only the Constitution, not only the First Amendment, but also recent Supreme Court precedent. So we have a very good opportunity here to remedy this wrong using the federal court system and not just getting an apology from the school and sorry, we'll never do it again, but in to ensure that the teachers and the people that work at the school and at all the schools in the district have that opportunity and right going forward.
All right, let's go ahead and I hope you'll answer your question. Again, that's why you support the work of the ACLJ. That's why you become an ACLJ champion. So people like these teachers and these students don't have to pay for legal fights, but we can represent them. So do that today. Become an ACLJ champion. Become a monthly recurring donor. If you haven't done it or if you plan on doing it, if you're already an ACLJ champion or if you plan on doing it today, throw that in the comments. I'd love to see it. Let's go take some calls. Let's go to Elena, who's calling in Illinois. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to point a few things about the only correct voting would be in person with the proof of citizenship, okay? Anything else today, it's done. You know, all these demonstrations of the students, most of them are Muslims, paid by Soros. They get their food, they get their courts, they get their protection. And the last meeting before, I mean, the last election we had, when Mr. Trump was at Davos, and they were talking about have America part of the globalization. And he says America will never be part of globalization. Next day on TV, Soros says we have to get rid of this guy. I would like to know what ACLJ can do about this outside very powerful sure. influences of United Nations and George Soros in our election.
Elena, we actually have some petitions going on right now on our website on ACLJ.org. I also wanted to encourage you to check out our election integrity section on our website that gives you some updates. Here is one thing, though, we have to be aware of, and I don't care where you land on the political spectrum, whether you are a conservative, whether you're a moderate, whether you're a liberal. The truth is, where we're at right now, and you said, you know, it should be election day, it should be voter ID, it should... I don't necessarily disagree with you, but we do have to play with, you know, the cards that we're given. The cards that we're dealt right now say that in certain states and in certain areas, that's simply not the way you're going to win an election anymore. So as much as that sounds nice, get out and vote on election day. No, utilize early voting. Utilize mail-in voting. Do what you can to support your candidate of choice because the rules have changed. And if they've changed, we have to be able to respond to that. And I truthfully think part of the reason you saw what happened in 2020 was because the rules got changed and we reacted the wrong way. Because whether you think the election was honest or you think it wasn't, the one thing that wasn't was the rules changed. So now we either have to fight back against those rules, which in some states we have, but in other situations where those are the new laws of the land, do what you have to do to vote. We're going to go to Inga real quick. Same kind of question, I'm sure, in New Jersey. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you again. And he's correct. Same question. I understand that the Constitution is for American and voting is for American citizens. And we are handing out voter registrations, temporary ID, and Social Security cards on the border. I don't know what to do to help stop that. Of course, I'm voting.
Yeah.
So piggybacking off on Elaine's question, what can we do to stop this illegal transactions at the border?
Well, and that's why the Republican-led Congress is trying to fight back at that. They have tried to beef up the enforcement mechanisms when illegal voting happens from people that are not documented citizens of the United States. There's an uphill battle because elections have consequences. There is a Senate that is controlled by Democrats, and there is a Democrat in the White House. So you have to work on the state level, and you have to organize within the state parties to push back on these things and to make sure that everyone is playing by the rules, using the rules that are in place, but make sure everyone is playing by those rules.
We're going to dive into a lot more of that tomorrow and later this week. So make sure you stay tuned. Come back to us tomorrow. If you're new to this broadcast, you're joining us on one of our platforms, or if you're listening on radio, we do this show Monday through Friday, every day, noon Eastern live. So join us, noon Eastern live. Work your way back. You know how to do it wherever you are in the world. Again, support the work of the ACLJ right now. You've heard us in court today with that teacher that was banned from praying. We took you to Israel and explained what's happening over there and how the ACLJ has worked. Then we also took on voter integrity, election integrity here at the end of the broadcast. The ACLJ is involved from the individual all the way up. We want to help you. you need support, aclj.org/help, but become a monthly recurring donor as we call you an ACLJ champion today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.